make your house his home. And if you were not here last week, you can still benefit from the message today. But you would enjoy. It's available for free online. You can check with some folks as you leave there in the foyer. Some of the guest service folks will give you some more information. It's a message that will bless you. And hopefully today, I believe God wants to speak to us. Psalm 16, verse 11, I am reading from the New King James Version. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." What a tremendous confidence that the psalmist had in the Lord and in his presence. God, I know that you're going to show me the path of life. In your presence. Not just the path of life, but fullness of joy in your presence. Not just even fullness of joy, but even pleasures forevermore in your presence. And certainly when you see the right hand of God in Scripture, it speaks of his power. Man, there's a whole lot in the presence of the Lord for us today. I want you to pray that God will speak to us. Pray for me. That God would use me to be a vessel he could speak through. I want to preach to you from this thought, a home away from home, home away from home. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, I know that your spirit is here moving powerfully. Those of you with the Holy Ghost, go ahead and intercede here for a little bit. That every miracle that God wants to do here today, that someone will experience repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, even speaking with other tongues, that someone will experience a healing in their body, in their mind. Someone will experience provision and direction and even deliverance. Just pray in the name of Jesus. Maybe you could pray, "The Lord rebuke every spirit of distraction, every spirit of doubt, every spirit that would try to hinder someone from receiving the victory." God, even as a church family, move us forward in your purpose and in your plan. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, by the authority of your word, by the power that is in the name of Jesus, usher us into your purpose and your plan today. Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. I don't necessarily want you to raise your hand, but I would love for you to just let it settle in your spirit for just a moment. How many of you, just if the answer is if you're one of these, just let it kind of just rest in your soul for a minute. How many of you know what it's like to feel at home in the presence of the Lord? Many of you. And I don't necessarily need you to raise your hands, but I think it's important that we take a moment and acknowledge that if that's you, that's amazing. Because there's so many places in this world that are dark and lonely and dangerous and confusing. But I am one of those that can just acknowledge I have learned to feel at home in the presence of the Lord. Like the psalmist, I have discovered, maybe not to the degree that he had or even the degree that I want to, but I am certain that I know what it's like when it seems like the world is a raging storm. Get me in the presence of the Lord. Just let me feel the touch of God. And I don't even want to limit it to a feeling, but you know, those of you that know how to be at home in the presence of the Lord, you know that's something. In fact, we have already experienced it here in this place today. There was a shift in the atmosphere at some point in the worship, and someone could say, maybe not with these words, but you can understand where I'm at home now. I'm at home now. And really, it doesn't matter what's going on out there. It doesn't matter what you've been dealing with all week. It doesn't even matter what you're going to face when you leave. There is something about being at home in the presence of the Lord that we ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful. We ought to never take for granted the privilege of being at home in the presence of the Lord. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. So I want to acknowledge and say that if that's 99% of us here today, and it could be 100%, but we serve a God, that he would leave the 99 just for one. So if that's 99% of us today that feel at home in the presence of the Lord, I believe that I am certain that God would want every single person here to feel at home in his presence. If his word promises us that in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore, I don't know anybody in this world that God would say, I don't care if you never feel my presence. I don't care if you're ever in. I believe that Jesus went to Calvary and shed his blood so that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl could experience the reality that when I'm in his presence, I am at home. Come on, don't come up in here and say, well, you don't know where I've sinned, and you don't know where I've been, and you don't know what I've done. Come on, even for the one that feels like you don't deserve it, it is the will of God that every one of us would feel at home in his presence. Well, maybe when I get older and I get a little bit more sophisticated and I learn a little bit more religion. Come on, this is better than religion. This is the presence of God. And you are pre-qualified by the blood of Jesus to enter in to the Holy of Holies and say, here I am, God. I come with boldness because I need your mercy. Oh, I know you're clapping your hands, but as you do, could you just say, I'm thankful for it, Lord. I'm thankful for it, Lord. I'm thankful for it, Lord. One songwriter said it this way, and boy, I wish it would have been me, because even when I heard it, I thought, that's it. That's it. That's how I feel. He said, your presence is heaven to me. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his love and grace. But until the trumpet sounds, just get me in his presence, because your presence is heaven. That's how I feel about it today. And I feel like there's a whole lot of people here that could say, you know, I wish we could all be in heaven right now. But since we're at least at heaven view, let's let the presence of God take over and let his spirit give me just a little bit of heaven in my heart, a little bit of heaven in my family, a little bit of heaven on earth, because his presence is heaven to a whole bunch of us. Amen. Amen. So, because God wants you and I to be at home in his presence, I'm speaking specifically about a home away from home. And I know some of you are used to some of the ways that God uses me that make you scratch your head and say, what did he say? But you're going to have to stay with me for just a moment, because before I can preach about a home away from home, I need to touch for just a few moments this subject, and that is home, dot, 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 few more dots, away from home. Here's what I mean. Here's home in the presence of God. Here's home where there's peace and love and joy in the Holy Ghost. But sometimes, dot, 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 away from home. stress, frustration, anxiety, depression, fear, sin, pride, worldliness. When I'm home, His presence is heaven to me. When I'm home, I might fight all that other stuff, but there's something about being at home in His presence. Oh my goodness, when I leave, there's gonna still be the frustrations, there's still gonna be the fears, but in His presence, there is fullness of joy. In His presence, it seems like there are pleasures that help me forget about all of that mess. And so I just wanna preach a little bit about home, but then I wanna acknowledge .. Away from home, it's dangerous. Away from home, it's dark and deadly. Away from home, it's lonely. Away from home, it's confusing. I am preaching home, but I'm also preaching away from home, because I think sometimes in Christianity, we have limited the presence of God to a location. And if I could just get to church on Sunday, I'm going to feel at home in the presence of the Lord. But oh my goodness, back on the job where I hate my boss, I'm away from home. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. Oh, when I get to church on Wednesday for Bible study, at home in the presence of the Lord, the Word of God will give me direction. The Word of God will give me peace. But oh, Pastor, I got to be honest with you, away from home, even my house feels like hell sometimes, because of the stress, because of the anger, because of the frustration. And I'm preaching today that His presence is heaven to me. His presence is home to me. And I've got to get my Christianity past the place where heaven is just a location, where His presence is just a location, where home is just a location. I want to feel the presence of God at school, at work, in the mess, on trouble. I want to have a home away from home. Praise God. This is how it is. We're all human. We all face, not just you, but me, we all face this. If I feel that God is near, oh, I made it home. But if I can't feel God, man, I'm away from home. I don't even know if there is a God right now. That's real Christianity right there. If I feel like praying, man, I get to praying. Whew, I feel at home in His presence. Wow. I just prayed a little bit, and it's like it started something in me. And now I can tell I'm at home in the presence of the Lord. But if I don't feel like praying, I'm away from home. Sunday was woo! But Monday, I can't use that language in front of my mother. But that's what it was like. I'm away from home. If I feel like reading my Bible, man, a few verses, I feel at home. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. But if I don't feel like reading my Bible, man, I can get away from home so fast and so far. I don't even know how some people make it back from Sunday to Sunday, because it seems like the distance grows further and further away from His presence. If I feel spiritual, it doesn't matter where I'm at. Woo-hoo! I feel at home. It's His presence. But if I just choose to be carnal, I can get away from home so fast that I don't even want to obey God's word. I was thinking about this, and I thought I would just throw this in because so many of you pray for me every day, but probably some of you forget every now and then. You think, well, he's good. I just guarantee you that if I get away from home long enough, I won't even know the way back. If I get away from prayer long enough, if I get away from the word long enough, say, but you're the pastor. I'm telling you, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, there are pleasures. In his presence, you get that Holy Ghost mojo that says, you know what? I can keep living for God. I can keep being holy. I can keep separating myself from the world. In his presence, I can get what I need to say. I can be a witness. I can be an intercessor. But oh my goodness, if I stop praying, if I stop reading my Bible, if I stop seeking God, if I get away from home long enough, far enough, you will say, he used to be a preacher. He used to be a pastor. You say, why? Because it doesn't matter how long you've called yourself a Christian, and it doesn't matter how long you've been in a position in a church. If you ever get far from home, if you ever become comfortable being out of the presence of the Lord, I guarantee you, when you get away from home, you will do things like they say when in Rome. Come on, if you ever get away from home long enough, if you ever start to take for granted the presence of the Lord and the power of prayer and the strength that comes from his word, it won't take long before even you will say, what's happened to me? How did I get here? Come on, my brothers and sisters, we need a home away from home. We've got to stop limiting the presence of God to a place called church. We've got to stop limiting the presence of God to a day called Sunday. And we got to get a home away from home. On Monday, I'm going to get in his presence. On Tuesday, I want to get in his word. On Wednesday, I'm going to witness for him. Somehow, some way, I'm going to stay close to home. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In the Old Testament, there are many verses, but there are just some that really bring this out. I'll just make reference to two. But we see people that had a connection with the one true God, but they also flirted with the gods of the world around them. And I want to just read one. There's many verses, but look at this one. 2 Kings 17, verse 33. They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. They knew what it was like to be home. We respect God, his commandments, his word. We want his favor. But simultaneously, they could be away from home. We want to be like the world. We want the gods of this world to dictate the way we live and the way we look, the way we act. And God said, it's not that they don't love me. It's not that they don't know me. But in the context of this message, they have limited me to just one location. Well, that's our God. We'll see him on Sunday. But the rest of the week, we've got other gods. We've got other things that occupy our time and occupy the way we live, the way we think. They were home, but they were away from home. Another verse, and you might want to fasten your seatbelt for this one because it's intense. The preacher in Ecclesiastes, he saw a people and he observed this about them. Ecclesiastes 8 and 10. Then I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity. For these people, holiness had become a place. A little bit of holiness when I'm at that place. But we can come and go from holiness. Isn't that the world we live in? Come on, folks, on Sunday, we're going to get it on. On Sunday, anybody that comes to Heaven View, they're going to get a view of heaven. Because, man, we know how to get at home in the presence of the Lord. And, man, we are a holiness people. And we're going to seek them. We're going to pray. We're going to get in the Word. Man, we're going to dance. We're going to shout. We're going to seek God. We're even going to be nice to each other. But if holiness becomes a place where we just come and go, if the presence of God becomes just a place where we just come and go. Oh my goodness, when I get to Heaven View, I'm holy. When I get to Heaven View, the praises of God are gonna ring forth out of, come on my brothers and sisters, if holiness is just a place, it's vanity. If the presence of God is just a place, it's vanity. If holiness is just Sunday, it's vanity. If holiness is just at Heaven View, it's vanity. If the presence of God is just Sunday, it's vanity. If the presence of God is just at Heaven View, it's vanity. I don't just need a home. I need a home away from home. And what I'm preaching to you is even when I'm not in this place, and even when it's not Sunday, I'm going to make a holy place in my house, a holy place on my job, and I'm going to seek for the presence of the Lord everywhere, every day. Why? Because I've got to have it. They came and went from that place that was holy. And the people that knew they're supposed to be those holy people, after a while, they just dismissed them. And isn't that Christianity in our generation? Because churches are full today of people that have learned to celebrate a holy place and a holy day. And God is calling us at Heaven View to be thankful for a holy place, to be thankful for a holy day. But holiness is not just a place, and it's not just a day. And the presence of God is not just a place, and it's not just a day. And the reason why I'm preaching this to you is because in His presence there is fullness of joy. And I know on Sunday we get our gas tank filled spiritually, and then we drive along and do our own thing, and by Saturday it's like the gauge is on empty. But thank God, I'm gonna be back in church, and I'm gonna get in His presence. I'm so thankful for every Sunday we come and we can feel His presence, but I can't live like that. I need to walk with Jesus every single day. I need to feel His presence in my home. I need to walk with God until it's not just a holy place or a holy day. It's a holy person, not by my own holiness, but by the work of God. His presence is moving in me. His presence is changing me. Oh, if that's you, would you clap your hands as if to say, God, I know you brought me from a mighty long way, but I want to keep on going. I want to keep on trucking because I want more of you. If we are truly going to be committed to making our house His home, this is going to be more than Sunday. Amen. It's going to be more than, well, I accepted the Lord back in 1997. I'm ready when He comes for me. If that's all it was, He would have took you the moment He saved you. But there's something in the heartbeat of God that says, as long as I'm living in you, it's not just a holy place called Heaven View. Your house can be holy. your family can be holy. It's not just a holy day called Sunday, but Monday you can start your day seeking my face. On Tuesday, you can spend some time calling on my name. Throughout the rest of the week, you can just carve out a place. Why? Because you're convinced in his presence, there's fullness of joy in his presence. Everything. If I could just get in his presence. Now, some of you can relate to this. I know I can. I have moved enough in my life. From one house to another house, from one neighborhood to another neighborhood, one city to another city, you understand. But occasionally, I've had opportunity to go back to the house where I used to live. You know what I mean? Yes, let's go see what the neighborhood looks like. Let's see what's changed. I've literally driven into the driveway of where I used to live. And even though it was the same house, it was not a home for me. Because who used to live there don't live there anymore. It may be the same address, the same location, but it's not the same. And I'm not being nasty towards the ones that moved in there, and that's home for them, but it'll never be home for me. And I'm not trying to convince anybody that God would ever leave you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But some of you have confused yourself because you keep coming to the same address, but it don't feel like home anymore. It's because nothing is living there. You're not living there anymore. You may still call this your church, but you're not living there anymore. You're coming to the same address and pulling in the driveway. And once a week, you're kind of checking in your time. I'm a Christian, but I'm telling you, until you live where you used to live, until you live the way you used to live, I'm telling you, it will never be home for you until you make up your mind. You know what? It's not enough to be in the building. I've got to be in your presence. Let that be a warning to every single one of us. You can come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but if you never get in his presence, it will die. If you never get in his presence, I'm not telling you he's going to leave you, but there is going to be a distance between you and God, and it will not feel like home anymore. But if you can come every service and say, I don't care who's here, I don't care what songs they pick, I don't care who gets behind the pulpit, all I know is his presence is where my home is. His presence is heaven to me. And so as soon as we start to worship, I'm going to get in his presence. As soon as the pastor says, let's pray, I'm going to get in his presence, because it's not enough just to be in his house. You've got to be in his presence. I've had seasons in my life where I still had the Holy Ghost. I even still spoke in tongues. But it was dead to me. It wasn't. Like the writer said, stir up the gift. And I noticed during those times, if I don't pray myself through, something's going to be dead where there used to be life. It may be the same address. And you may look at me from the outside and say, I don't think anything's changed. But I'm telling you, I will know. Those closest to me will know. My wife will know. My kids will know something's wrong. I think dad's a little bit off. Why? Because he ain't stirred up the gift that is within him. He's got Jesus inside of him, but it's as if it's just a house. It's not full of life. There's not the joy. There's not the, oh, my Lord, have mercy. We don't have to live for God like that, folks. We can build an altar in our life. We can build an altar in our home. We can have an altar here at church where we refuse to just let this be a dead, dry up house for God. Why don't we make sure this is his home? Not just his house, but this is his home. And not just 1410 West Clemensville, not just Heaven View, but right here in the temple where he lives. I want to do everything I can to make sure this is not just God's house. This is God's home. I feel his peace in here. I sense his joy in here. I've got his power in here. It's home. It's home away from home. Because when the Holy Ghost is stirring in you, you could fight all kinds of devils on your job, and it just seems like you hold your head up and you just walk through. The boss hates you, your co-workers hate you, but when you've stirred up the Holy Ghost, when you've taken time to pray before you go to work, it's a different thing entirely. Why? Because your temple is not just the address where God's supposed to be. Your house is his home, where he's moving and blessing. Come on, how many years have you been at that job and it's been so long since they saw Jesus come to work with you? How about making a commitment today? I'm not going to just leave Jesus at church or at my house. I'm taking him to work. Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you walk into your business tomorrow and say, hey God, this is going to be your home away from home. And I know at Heaven View we got it going on, and man, we do our thing. But here on this job site, this is going to be your home away from home. In other words, I know you heal when we're at home at Heaven View, but God, you can heal one of my coworkers today. I'm going to be ready for it. I know you feel. I know you forgive. All that good stuff happens at the altar at Heaven View, but God, I'm just going to be ready right here at my job. We can make an altar if somebody needs God. We can pray a prayer. We can have faith. Why? Because God, this is your home away from home. My body is the temple of God. And I'm not going to leave you at Heaven View. I'm going to take you everywhere I go, and I'm going to expect the miracle to happen, because this is your home away from home. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so I want to wrap this up, and I want to just take you through a brief exercise. And I don't want this to sound like a ritual. And I don't want to somehow give the impression that this is a formula. But I do know that you can enter into the presence of the Lord anytime, anywhere. I'm not talking about a feeling even. I'm talking about the presence of the Lord. And some of you, you're there. You kneel. I've seen some prayer warriors in this church. They kneel beside their little chair, and I've heard them pray. They don't do anything I'm about to describe, but they get into his presence. So I'm not even telling them to change anything about what they do. This is not a formula I'm about to share. This is not some sort of ritual. But have you ever been on a plane and there was an emergency exit? Some of y'all know what that's like. Ever been on a bus? There's an emergency exit. This is in case of emergency. This is if you're praying and you're not in his presence. If you're reading your Bible and you're not in his presence. So I'm not trying to mess with all of y'all that you just sit in your chair with your cup of coffee and you seek God and his presence flows and the power of God. And you know, man, I'm not at Heaven View, but I'm at home.
Amen.
I'm not messing with you folks. But for those of you that have prayed and you haven't felt his presence, those of you that have worshiped and you haven't been in his presence, those of you that have done everything you know to do, and it's like it's a house, but it's not a home. In case of emergency, this is what I want you to do. Number one. Next time you pray, and we're going to practice it in a few minutes. This is for emergencies. I don't want you making a religion out of this, making a formula out of this. I'm not saying, don't walk out of here. She said, if I'm going to get in the presence of God, I got to do this. That's not what I'm saying. In case of emergency. Now, I don't want to make them too visible, because some of you kids will try it out. There are even stations in this building. In case of emergency, you can break the glass. You can spray the foam. The fire will go out. Don't do that in here. Because we need more fire in here, actually. But in case of emergency, here's what I want you to do. The next time you pray, are you ready? Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, focus on Jesus. You say, well, my eyes are closed. How can I focus? Well, you're going to focus by faith. So we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you're going to close your eyes and you're going to focus on Jesus. So just for a minute, close your eyes and pretend you're home in that place where you always pray. And sometimes you don't know if the presence of God is there. Sometimes while you're like 2 minutes into it, you start to sleep. I'm just talking about me. Sometimes you're there and you're praying and you think about bills or you think about the kids. Are you with me so far? But what you're going to do the next time, this is in case of emergency. Some of you won't need this, but in case of emergency, here it's not Sunday, it's only Tuesday, but I ain't been in the presence of the Lord since Sunday, and I'm starting to feel far away from home. I want to close my eyes, and I'm going to focus on Jesus. And with my eyes closed, I'm going to see him dying for me. I'm going to see his blood being shed for me, and I'm just going to love him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to do something to communicate. There's nobody like you, Jesus. You've been so good to me, Jesus. What are you talking about, Pastor? That seems so simple. That's the whole thing. The presence of God is not complicated. He is not far from any one of us. So if you have been praying, but you can't tell if you've been in his presence, I'm telling you, God is everywhere at all times, but there is something about getting in his presence that you need a home away from home, that when you're in your house all by yourself, you need to close your eyes tight and you need to focus on Jesus, and his presence will come to you. How will I know his presence is there? In his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his presence, I have been with people in the hospital and the family was facing death of a loved one, and all of a sudden they begin to pray and nothing changed about the circumstance, but the presence of God came into that little hospital room and all of a sudden there was peace where there was no peace. I'm saying you have a right to that every single day of your life. You may just take your lunch break and sit in your car where you can get away from everybody and close your eyes tight and say, Jesus, I've been at work for 4.5 hours and they're killing me. I got to get in your presence. So my eyes are closed tight, and all I'm going to think about now is I'm going to get a vision of you dying for my sins, a vision of you loving me enough to go to the cross for me, and I'm just going to love you and I'm going to just praise you, and I guarantee you his presence will come to you, because you need a home away from home. So you're going to close your eyes. And then here's what you're going to do. You're going to lift up your head. Now, some of y'all, I know how it is. You lay in the carpet, your nose is to the floor, and the presence of God is flowing. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people that are praying, but you're not in his presence. You're reading your Bible, but you're not feeling the joy. I'm asking you to close your eyes and lift up your head. Why should I lift up my head? Well, the psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Jesus said in Luke 21, now when these things begin to happen, all the trouble in the world that points to the coming of our God, he said, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. When you close your eyes and you lift up your head, you're saying, Jesus, everything around me is trouble. Everything around me is torment, but I am focusing on you. I don't have my eyes on my problem. I'm getting a vision of you dying for me, and I'm loving you and I'm praising you. And the reason why I've lifted up my head, Lord, is because my redemption is coming. My answer is coming. Your presence is coming. God, the reason why I've lifted up my head, it's a symbol to you that I know you're about to overdose me with the Holy Ghost right here in my home. You're about to give me a fresh touch of the power of God. Now, folks, I know what it's like to be laying in my bed and talk to the Lord. I'm talking about just laying in the bed and I'm talking to the Lord, and his presence presence is flowing. If that's you, I'm not telling you to stop doing that. But if you have been laying in your bed and you don't feel nothing, there's no presence of God, there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no unction, there's no anointing, get out of your bed, stand up by your bedside, close your eyes, and lift up your head and say, it's coming. My joy is coming. My peace is coming. My victory's coming. My miracle's coming. Why? Because you need a home away from home. You don't need to die and still be a Christian. You don't need to give up on God and still go the motions of religion. You need a home away from home. You're going to close your eyes, lift up your head, and then you're going to lift up your hands. Pastor, are you saying I could do that at my house? Oh, yeah. But at church, it feels kind of weird, but you mean at home? Oh, yeah. You know why? Because you need a home away from home. You know the answer's in the presence of God. You know what your family needs is in the presence of God. You know what your kids need is in the presence of God. So you just can't go through the motions of prayer and Bible reading and it still just be a house without anointing, a house without victory, a house without peace, a house without joy. You got to shake yourself and say, there's no way. I've got to get at home in the presence of the Lord. And I can't ask Pastor to have another service on Saturday, although he'd love to. I'm going to have to just make sure I build an altar right here in my house. And I close my eyes and I lift up my head and I lift up my hands. You know why we're going to lift up our hands? Because we understand it is a symbol of surrender. It is a symbol that says, God, I give you all of my trouble. I give you all of my frustration. I give you all of my fear. I give you all of my doubts. And not only is it a symbol of surrender, it's also a symbol of victory. Hey. Awesome that you can raise your hands in the middle of the most fierce storm. You can raise your hands when everything about your finances is in the toilet, and you can say, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I'm here to tell you, God wants you to lift up your hands because he wants you to surrender every pain, every problem, and he also wants you to declare, I will win. My family will win. My kids will win. The psalmist said, Psalm 63, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Some of you, when you fall on your face before God, you barely lift a finger. Within moments, you are in deep travail. And the presence of God is flowing through you. Don't change anything. But this is a break the glass moment for somebody. This is an emergency situation for somebody. Pastor, you're right. I've been praying. I've been coming to church. I've been reading my Bible. But it don't feel like home anymore. It feels like something's missing. And I've been a Christian longer than a lot of people. And it feels empty. I can get it at church, but at home, it seems so far away. You need a home away from home. So close your eyes and lift up your head and lift up your hands and bless the name of Jesus. And I don't want to limit the presence of God to a feeling. But I'm telling you, the presence of God will begin to flow. An anointing will begin to flow. And you know what? You're going to start to feel at home. And before you leave that little prayer closet, you're going to be able to say, your presence is heaven to me. And you say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to lift up my head. I'm going to lift up my hands. And then I'm going to, this is the last one. Some of y'all ain't going to like this one. But it's in the Bible. I'm going to cry out with my voice. The psalmist said it this way. Psalm 34. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Psalm 56. And you guys know there's so many verses that speak of crying out. I've just chosen two. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. Just leave that scripture there. You know why I'm going to cry out? Because God is for me. There's so many verses, but just this one says, when I cry out, the enemy. You know, some of our prayer meetings are so passive that the enemy don't even have to leave. I'm telling you, I know that sounds a little bit offensive, but some of our prayer meetings are so dry, so dead, so ritualistic that the enemy don't have to worry. He just kind of come and say, oh, I feel comfortable here, because it's just a form of godliness. But you take someone among us, I'll never forget, and it's happened many times, and it's happened with many of you, but just recently, I think it was Father's Day, and Brother Lucas came up here. He was standing right here. And he had Noble, had his arms around Noble. I'll never forget, because I was over here and I was just kind of praying, but I saw him and he had his son in front of him. Remember? And you've done it many times, but he had his hands on his shoulders and he was crying out to God. And some things that he was saying, I hope it's okay. I don't think this will be offensive, but one of the things he said that blew me away. He's over here praying. And he's saying, oh God, I don't want my boy to have to go through some of the things I went through. I want him to receive everything you have for him. That's what he said. That's what you said, right? And my goodness, I thought, my, oh my, what if every father would cry out to God that way? Because every dad knows what it's like to fight devils and to feel defeated and sometimes even fail God and fail your family. But it's an amazing thing when a man of God begins to cry out. He literally closes his eyes and focuses on nothing but Jesus. And he lifts up his head as if to say, I'm about to receive what I need. He lifts up his hands, because the Bible calls on all of us to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And then he begins to cry out. You know what happens at that moment? The enemy turns back. The enemy that wants to torment that boy and torment that family. When that father cries out, Jesus, protect my family. Jesus, give us victory. Come on, if you would make your house a home for God, the enemy would turn back. If you would make your home a home away from home for God, the enemy would turn back. Everybody stand. Why am I going to close my eyes? Because the enemy will turn back and God is for me. Why am I going to lift up my head? Because the enemy will turn back, because God is for me. Why am I going to raise my hands? Because the enemy will turn back, because God is for me. And why am I going to cry out with my voice? Because the enemy is on the run and God is for me. Anybody want to break the glass right now? Anybody want to break the glass right now?